Happy Tuesday to you. Woo! Man, I tell you, this is Let's Talk on Blog Talk Radio. I'm your host, Mr. Talk. And, of course, we got another great show planned for you today. Today is Tell It All Tuesday. Just another word for open conversation. But we're going to tell it all. If we got some knowledge and some stats and some whatever to prove it, we going to tell it. That's right. So it's Tell It All Tuesday. So I hope y'all ready for some fun, some great conversation, and, of course, a little bit of this and a little bit of that. I'm just putting it out there. I want to give a shout-out to Antoinette in the chat room holding it down for Mr. Talk and Sister Ngunyi. And then my 1668, welcome to the show. Welcome to the show, Wesley. I see you out there on the switchboard, man. Glad to have you. Now, you want to be a part of the conversation today, or just a part of the show, period, all they do is give me a call, 347-838-8622, or join us in the chat room at www.blogtalkradio.com/Mr. Talk. And, of course, that you can send me an email, ericletstalk@gmail.com. All right, now it's time to bring my beautiful co-host in, Sister Ngunyi. And
hey,
how you doing, sister?
I'm good. Thank you, Mr. Talk. How are you today?
I'm doing wonderful.
Good. Sorry I missed you.
Oh, it's okay. It's okay. I understand. I was running a little late. You know, I had to go to and see my dentist today.
Oh, boy. I hope that went well.
Oh, it went wonderful. Just, you know, my little four-month checkup. But, you know, it was a revelation there, though. Because you go to the dentist and they lay you back in the chair. And, you know, they have the light right there, that big old light that they shine in your mouth while they're working.
Well, yes.
That light hit me directly in my face. And the only thing I could think about was, wow, you know, this is what they do when they're interrogating people. And then when she started digging in my mouth, I told her to stop for a moment, right? I said, wait a minute. I had to get up. I said, now what you working with right here? Because I want to know what's what.
Wow, you know, kind of threw out a little bit.
Yeah, it kind of freaked me out. Yeah, because, you know, when she moved it first and the light hit me directly in my eyes, I couldn't see nothing. On that, I felt her start moving my lips. I'm like, wait a minute. Hold up, wait a minute.
Wow. So you wanted to make sure you was really in the dentist's office and not at Gitmo, huh?
There you go. You wasn't implanting anything in my mouth.
Oh, wow. I know.
Just them crazy revelations you have.
Sometimes it just hits you like that.
And you really did. I couldn't do no but laugh, just chuckle a little bit, like, wow. But like I say, I didn't get no microscopic put in my mouth, so I'm good.
That's, you know, I'm sure, reassuring.
Yes, very much so. especially since you know what to look for and know, you know, any suspicious movement, like, okay, wait a minute. You know, so, I mean, it's a nice shop, though. You know, it's African-American owned by a woman. And, I mean, she does an outstanding job. I've been going there for at least the last 2 years now. So it's pretty good. It's pretty good, you know.
Well, but you bring up a good point. It's good to always ask questions about everything. We've been so conditioned to just accept whatever is going on without asking questions. So that's a good point.
Yeah. Yeah. And you know what? That's the craziest thing, though, we do when we go to the doctor. I mean, we go anywhere else. We have 800 different questions. If we go somewhere medical, you got any questions? No, I'm good. And that's
yeah.
it.
you know, now, go ahead.
No, I'm saying it's like you're scared to say anything and ask a question because you may get told something that's crazy.
Not me. I make speeches.
You make speeches?
Oh, absolutely.
All right.
No, I'm in control here, not you.
Mm-hmm.
No. You can make suggestions.
Mm-hmm.
And then it's up to me to decide whether I want to follow the suggestions or not. Because they have a real attitude nowadays, like they own you and you better do what they tell you to do or else.
Yeah, I know, right?
Mm-hmm.
I know. Well, y'all got that. Just ask questions. I'm telling you.
Right. And
all right, I want to give another shout out. I'm sorry, go ahead.
I was just going to do the same thing you're doing, is greet everyone I see in the chat board and say welcome, and that's all. You go ahead.
Well, no, you say it in a more sexier voice than I do. Go ahead.
Well.
Okay. Go for it. Say hello.
I did.
Oh, okay.
Greetings, everyone. Greetings, Antoinette, Bible Benny, N2K, I Am the Universe, and Guest 1722.
All right. There we go. We got all of them in there. Hope y'all enjoy the show because I'm sure it's going to be a good one. All right. So
I read the description, Mr. Talk, and I see that we're going to just open the door and we're going to talk about any and everything. That's great.
Yeah, there we are. I mean, why not? Any and everything going on, so we might as well get to talking about it. And,
that's right.
I mean, let everybody be aware of what's happening. Oh, okay, let's see. We got two shows coming on tonight. We got Bible Truth by Benny, who has a show, part one of the Jezebel Spirit. And we also have Ron Reck with our great Antoinette as co-host, and they'll be on at 9 p.m. Central time. And so will Bible Truth by Benny. So I don't know how y'all going to work that one out. I know, flip back and forth like I do sometimes.
There you go. I think they call that multitasking, right?
Right, multitasking.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Oh, Antoinette says Eastern time. Oh, hers is 9 p.m. Eastern. Okay, so that's 8 Central. Well, I got my bowling league tonight, but I'll try and pull it off. Maybe I'll take my laptop, see if I can get a signal in the bowling alley and do it that way. But anyway, so I'm going to try and make them. All right, Sister Ngoni, it's time. It's time for that quote of the day. You ready for me?
Yes,
you ready?
Sir. I'm ready.
All right, let me give you your drum roll. All right, there you go.
There she is. The teacher who is indeed wise does not bid you to enter the house of his wisdom, but rather leads you to the threshold of your mind. That's by Cahil Gibran.
Ooh. Okay, say that one more time. I had a dead space there.
Okay. All right, here we go. The teacher who is indeed wise does not bid you to enter the house of his wisdom, but rather leads you to the threshold of your mind.
Wow.
Well, you know, Ebony kind of demonstrated that for us yesterday when she was talking to Brother Lowe. Now, didn't she?
Well, yes, she did. Yes, she did.
You go.
Yeah, she did. You know what? I never thought about it like that, but you are right. You're absolutely right.
Yes.
Wow. That's deep there. But that's deep, Sister Ngone. That's really, ooh, Lord. Got my mind working on that one. Ooh.
Well, you know.
Yeah, you know, we do that here, right?
Absolutely. We're working on our art.
Yeah, without a doubt. Yes. You know, and I had a, you know, it's funny because I had something else I was quoting, another saying I was going to say today also. And it was, a mind is a terrible thing to work waste, you know.
Yeah.
You know, and that kind of goes almost hand in hand with both of them. Interesting. Wow. Mm-hmm.
Well, I think it's good that you give a quote of the day from a male perspective, and then I'll try to find some that, not necessarily, you know, gender specific, but, you know, it's just, you know, our thought processes are a little different since we are, you know, so we can.
Yeah. But you know what, they usually like roll together, though, form a big old circle.
I've noticed.
Wow.
See? But that's a good thing, though.
Yeah. Great minds think alike. That's what they're going to say. Great minds think alike.
Yes.
That's what I'm going to say anyway. Well, all right, y'all. Oh, go ahead.
I just said I agree with you.
Oh, okay. You still got this little delay going on, and I don't know. Maybe because it's cloudy outside and going on. But anyway, we're going to make it work. We're going to make it work like we always
It's probably
do.
Because I'm on a landline. Don't you think that's slower?
No. Yeah, a little bit. Probably a combination of the two. Yeah.
Well, I'll try not to get too bad, okay?
That's all right. I can hold your foot off of me. I'm good. All right, y'all. It's about that time for the song of the day. And I told y'all yesterday, it's going to make you move. It's going to make you move. I tell you, if you don't move to this song, something wrong with you. Yeah, I mean, you just stuck and you just stuck then, because this song is going to make you move. I don't care who you are, and it's old school. You hear me?
Mr. Talk.
But it's going, yes.
It sounds like I might have to do this one in my chair, huh?
Yeah, you're going to have to do this one in your chair.
Okay.
But you're definitely going to be moving. Because I be doing it in my chair. I was doing it in the chair when I was loading it. I'm like, yeah, okay. All right. So without further ado, y'all, we're going to bring y'all the song of the day. All right, y'all. That was Junior Walker in the All-Stars. Shotgun. Now, tell me you had to move to that. Come on, now. You had to move to that. Please tell me you was moving.
That was good, and I couldn't stay in my chair.
You wasn't up doing the jerk, huh?
Yeah, I was. That's a nice one. Now, that reminded me of skating again, though.
Ah, okay. I always loved that song. I don't care. I always loved it. It's just nice.
It's funny how music is timeless, you know?
Yes, yes. Good music. The good music is timeless.
Yes.
Yes. Yeah. Yes. So that was it, y'all. That was it. Now, y'all know tomorrow starts the jazz.
Oh, boy.
Jazz. Yes, jazz. And I think I got a really good mix for y'all. But anyway, we'll get to that tune tomorrow.
I'm excited to see what you picked.
Okay. All right.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right. Well, let's see. What's the first topic we're going to talk about here on Tell It All Tuesday? How about the shooter at LAX? What about him? Well, here's what. The FBI supposedly are investigating his involvement with conspiracy theorists about how the U.S. government is preparing to establish a totalitarian state. So now the FBI is investigating that this conspiracy theory that has been floating around for some time, as they put it in the article. Who are they trying to fool? You know? Who are they trying to fool here?
I think they're trying to fool us, but I don't think it's working very well.
I mean, are they really trying to fool us, or are they just making it, trying to make it look good?
Well, I don't even think they're doing they're working real hard to make it look good. It's getting stupider and stupider, the stuff they put out here now.
Yeah.
I think they're just trying to condition the people to just accept what's going on, because the things that you see now are just like, you know, they're just odd.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know another word to describe how I see it. They're just, you know, they're just odd.
Well, and then to top it off, there was another shooting overnight in New Jersey, in a New Jersey mall. Have anyone noticed that always when there's one shooting, there's always another one right behind it? You know, but they're never on, and here's the thing, they're never on the same coast. They're always on different coasts or different parts of the United States.
I hadn't noticed that.
Yeah.
And, you know, I will say this. Now, taking in consideration the state of the economy, you know, we anticipate more violence and people that are distraught and stressed out, so forth and so on. But it's obvious that some of these incidents are staged, and we talked a little bit about that yesterday. So I think it's so important when they to wait a little bit to see what else comes behind it, because normally what the press first puts out doesn't seem to stick very long, does it?
No, it doesn't. No, it doesn't. Yeah, and that's why you definitely have to, wait a couple of days. But I just found that was very interesting that not too long, not a week gone already, you know, you had the one at LAX. Now, this guy went into a New Jersey mall. He wasn't trying to kill. He went in there. He wasn't trying to kill anyone. That's the craziest thing. He just shot up in the air. Then the police lost him, supposedly. Then they find him 2 o'clock in the morning behind the mall dead. Well, really.
Oh, my
And of course, you know what they're saying. He committed suicide.
Well, of
course. Sure he did. sure he did. But, of course, that's what they got to put on there. Man, I tell you. Now, I see we got a conversation going on in the chat room by Edward Snowden. Now, that's a very interesting case, because this guy, he's the one who basically has brought out all this spying, the stuff, and that's still lingering on now. And, of course, he got asylum in Russia for a little bit. But he's still releasing stuff. Now he has, it's funny because now he has countries going against countries trying to figure out why are you spying on me. You know, he got Britain, he got Germany, he got the United States. Dang, who else he got? I mean, those are the main three main players anyway. And it's just amazing because the more he releases, and this is what surprises me, the more he releases, the more information he releases, it's like the more surprised the American people are. And I don't know why. It's not like spying hasn't been going on for years. I mean, decades. So why is this so surprising? We already know. We already know that there were spies. Other countries have spies here. We have spies there. But it's one of those things where we know it, but as long as we don't have to really know about it, everything is cool. Huh? Really?
Well, but
I don't know. Maybe I'm looking at it the wrong way.
Well, no, you're not looking at it the wrong way, but let's take in consideration, you know, we have the James Bond movies and that kind of thing, and that's basically, you know, people are, I mean, at least I didn't spend too much time thinking about spies, you know what I'm saying? I mean, that's not really a part of your daily life. I think people are shocked now because they have become aware that with this PRISM system that's been going on for 6 years and they're data mining us, recording all of our telephone calls, storing all of our emails and that kind of thing. So I think that's where the surprise comes in. Surprise, surprise, surprise. You know.
I don't know, the fact that we have spies, that's different. That didn't really affect the everyday person,
we thought, anyway. You see what I'm saying?
Well, yeah, I understand that. But I remember watching a movie a long time ago. I can't think of the name of the movie. But it was during the Cold War. I remember this. And what it was, they built an American city, you know, average American, what they considered a suburban city, or a neighborhood, and they brought spies in to teach them how to live as Americans.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I mean, and this was a movie back in the 70s. What was the 70s? Yeah, the 70s or the 80s. I can't think of the name right now. And you know, and that's what they did. They, you know, spies, you know, they bring spies in, you know, they learn the customs, learn how to talk, you know, English and just go through the rigmarole. And, you know, that is the craziest thing. But now that I remember, you know, and we talk a lot of times on the show about how some of these movies aren't as far-fetched as we think they are. You know, yes. And now thinking back to that, you know, I'm like, yeah.
Well, if
you know, so.
Mm-hmm. Go ahead.
No, go ahead. Go ahead.
I was just, you know, just popped in my head that we can think of a recent real life situation that's similar to what you just described. I think there's someone we all know who was sent in the South Side of Chicago to learn how to act like a black man and walk like one and talk like one too. Mm-hmm. Yeah, you know, the first job that he had after college was given to him by Mr. Henry Hines. Now,
okay, go ahead.
Help myself, Mr. Talk. I'm sorry. I just couldn't help myself.
I know.
Mm-hmm. And they taught him how to find some brown sugar, too. It had to be good and brown because nothing else wasn't going to get the job done. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. That's crazy. Well, I see we have someone else with their hand up, so I guess let's bring them into the conversation and
all
see
right.
Who we have here. All right, 111. Hello?
Good morning. You know, it's Beasley. I'm generally first anyway. I always have a comment on something. It's just
how
I
know,
am.
Pete.
How you doing?
I'm good. How are everyone today?
Good.
Good.
We're doing on wonderful. Thank you for asking.
Well, good. On the shootings, I did some reading last week. Just nothing, just a few, you know, long newspaper articles. And I don't know how long they've been tracking it, but they happen every 13 days. And what was remarkable about last week is that you had four of them in 4 days.
Wow.
He didn't get a lot of news attention. He had four, and he killed 19 people. Ooh. Four of them in 4 days. They've become so common, we don't even, I mean, it's like, okay, it's almost like the freeway chases they had in Los Angeles. And I remember when they first started happening, and the news would cover them, and, you know, you call on the, you know, you call your friend, or you call, you know, call my brother. Yeah, we got a runner on 13. Say, is he making, well, call me back when he makes it to 9, 7, 5, and 2. And I'm like, oh, he's still going. It's 9, 7, 5, and 2. He's on all the, okay, I'm going to watch now. They don't seem to get the media coverage, and it's almost another thing that's unique that happens in Los Angeles is you have copycat crimes, and you'll have something as crazy as freeway shootings, you know?
Mm-hmm.
You'll have a shooting on the freeway, mm-hmm. then there'll be an epidemic of them. Then there'll be like 5 shootings on the freeway in 1 week before it dies down. It's almost like there's an epidemic where people are like, well, they're shooting on the freeway. I'm going to get my gun and get ready. And so someone gives somebody the finger, they shoot at them. But I wonder if some of these shootings are copycat, and the sister hit the nail on the head about Obama. And you know what? It's so unpopular for us as people of color to speak like this, at least openly. And I've done it in the barbershop, man. You should see some of the looks they gave me. But I just told the truth.
I can imagine.
I just told the truth, you know. I just told the truth that he is culturally white. And he was culturally white because he had no choice but to be culturally white, being raised by his white grandmother and his white grandfather and his white mother.
Mm-hmm.
And he had to learn how to be black.
That's right.
Learn black customs and he had to learn this. And he did that in Chicago.
Yep. That's
and
right.
He probably did it not because he wanted to, but I think in his book he talks about how he made the rationalization that the world sees me as a black person. So no matter how I feel on the inside, I'm just going to go ahead and have to join into this. He's the perfect candidate.
Yes, Manchurian.
For what they wanted to achieve. I don't know if he's a Manchurian candidate. It's possible. He sure seems to lie without any type of emotion or indication or anything. I mean, that's scary the way that he's believable. If you didn't know better, you would say, wow, you know, he seems to believe what he's saying. It must be the truth. But, I mean, after a while, you can only do so much and tell so many stories. And there's people that are going to believe him regardless, which is unfortunate. I also think I'm also a little dismayed when, and I understand he's got a lot of flack from people and from his colleagues or his underlings, actually, because he has brown skin, and they don't admit to it. And I know that he's received flack for it, but, it comes to me, it doesn't matter to me the tone or the color of your skin. If you're lying and you're dishonest and you're tricky and you don't practice what you preach, you're no one that I want to deal with or defend anyway. I think it goes back to what Martin Luther King said, and it rings true, you know, that you have to judge people by the content of their character.
Absolutely.
And not the color of their skin. That's
well, he has certainly been consistent in not telling the truth.
It's amazing.
Mm-hmm.
It's amazing.
Well, you know what? Clarence Thomas told it all, though, in that one interview that he, because, you know, Clarence Thomas don't talk that often, but he told it. He said Obama was, you know, selected by elite because they felt that was the proper way a black man should act. So, I mean, he was elected, you know, basically before anything else went out, and that was why.
He was selected to be elected, and Clarence Thomas has a lot of nerve talking because he was selected by the elite as well.
For lack of
a better phrase, that's the pot calling the kettle black.
Yeah, or the sheep calling the pillowcase white.
There you go. That's a better one.
Yeah.
Excuse me.
But then,
yeah,
then
but you guys get my point.
Inside, so he should know, huh?
But, well, that's his opinion, and I don't know if he was privy to any of that stuff that went on in his in Obama's selection process, or how he was picked out to run. But he really has a lot of nerve talking because they moved him up from being Solicitor General, which is not a high position in any administration, and he moved right from there up to the highest court in the land. You know, the Bushes reward loyalty.
Mm-hmm.
They reward loyalty, and people stay loyal to them because they reward people. They'll move you on the fast track.
Mm. Yep.
All right. We got, oh, Lord, the lines just lit up. Now, let me bring D Super Negro in first. All right, sir. Welcome to the show. Are you there? Hello. Okay. I guess he's not. So we put him back on mute and bring the next call in.
Talking about Obama, folks get riled up.
All right, Erico 111, welcome to the show. Hello.
Oh, hello.
You. Well, hello, Maze. How are you?
I'm just fine.
That's good.
Well, I hope nobody don't get upset with me for what I'm getting ready to say.
Got it.
Now I want you to take it at heart. Some people know people that was working with the president when he was in college. Some people know the president that was around the president, and they know people that knew the president and what kind of person he was then. Not what the media told him, not what somebody else stood outside and said he was taught to be black. Had to go get a black woman to make him black. Some people know people that can tell you that's not the truth. And there's a lot of black people worked with the president before he even became president or even went to Chicago. So do we know any of those people?
Who are these people that say they know him and that he was black acting when he was raised by a white mother and a white grandmother and a white grandfather?
And he also went to kinder. How old was he when he went to kinder to visit his grandmother?
Pardon me?
How old was he when he went to kinder to visit his grandmother?
He's in his 30s.
He was not 30.
He's in his late 20s.
He was not in his 20s.
I'm not sure how old he was.
Well, it doesn't matter. But I'm saying, why do people have to, well, I'll put it this way, have to teach somebody to be black? I know three ladies that when the president came to Chicago, he taught them how to get everything that they needed to get in order from being, to have to run around and do all these things that they didn't need to be doing. He got them in a group, and he showed them what to do. And from that, he was not a senator. He was a lawyer at the time. So a lot of people need a helping hand, and some people never forgot what he showed them how to do, and they pass it on to other people. But then you got people like, you have to teach him how to be black. If he was taught to be black, he's doing well at somebody teaching him to be black. You look at Clarence Thomas, he grew up in a black house with a great black grandfather. He didn't go marry a sister. He went out and married him a Caucasian woman. So what's wrong with that picture?
So what does that have to do with him running the country?
But he's sitting up in the court, never vote for nothing.
Well, Clarence Thomas is a self-hating Negro.
Well, he's not a self-hating Negro.
He absolutely is, in my opinion. And
mine too.
In people's opinion, he's a self-loathing, self-hating Negro that, you know, that their position and what gets them stature is denouncing anything and everything black or anything that would be progressive for black people. They wanted, you know, if it were up to people like Clarence Thomas and a lot of the other black conservatives, they would roll us back. I've heard Jesse Lee Peterson say that, you know, black people would be better off on the farms.
He said he's not black.
Jesse Lee Peterson?
He said he's not black.
He's black on the outside.
He said he's black on the outside. But he's white on the inside. That's his word every day.
Yeah, well, that's their stick. That's how they eat.
See, I don't dislike people because they don't agree or they don't like something. I don't get mad because they don't like it. But if I have an opinion, people shouldn't get upset because I don't have the same opinion they have.
That's just my opinion.
So I
practice that for the most part, but there's something about these self-loathing, self-hating black folks.
Mm-hmm.
And the way they focus and concentrate and attack anything good that happens or anything good that has happened, or they just denigrate anything black, and they're on a mission. And after a while, I could listen to some of it, but after a while, it stirs me up.
Well, things like that don't stir me up
because they're nonstop with it. It's like it's their only issue.
Yeah, I want to know why they feel that way.
Let me ask Maze a question, because Maze, you came in here and you made some bold statements, but I want to ask you a question.
Well,
No. Listen now. I want to ask you a question. Now, you say people get upset when you say things, but you do the same thing, especially if we're talking about the president.
No.
Listen, though. You do get upset.
What I'm saying is that.
You do get upset, Maze.
No, I don't get upset.
But it's okay.
Okay,
I know you explained. Well, I'm explaining, too. You know, like we just said a few minutes, that's like the pot calling the kettle black.
No,
you know, you can't come here and say that
because
every time we get to discussing the president, you say what? Huh?
Am I trying to get you to change your view how you feel about the president? I'm just telling you how I feel. How you feel is the way you feel and the way I feel. I'm not trying to say, well, Mr. Talk, you feel that way. You shouldn't be feeling like that. Why are you an Obama lover? Why are you an Obama hater? I don't say things like that because you
I'm not trying to change your thought either. We just putting out points. That's all.
I'm giving out my opinion,
okay.
And I'm not all giving
right, enough.
That's what I'm
okay,
saying.
Well, thank you, Maze. That's one of the few times.
Can I clarify myself?
You believe that Obama, you know, how he was raised and the people that he was raised by, that they were able to instill, I couldn't even think of the right, that they were able to instill that he understood and practiced, cultural things that us black folks do, and I'm just talking about simple stuff. When I say simple stuff, some of the phrases and the colloquialisms and that my grandmother would say, you know, and I guess white folks say them too, but I don't know that they do. But I remember, two wrongs don't make a right. I can go on and on and on if I can think of the things that you said. I mean, do you think that they made black eyed peas on New Year's Eve?
I don't know if they make black eyed. Yes, some white people like black eyed peas and collard greens and cornbread
right.
too.
My
brother-in-law's girlfriend, she does, and she cooks just like I do. Nothing.
I don't see how he could have grown up in that atmosphere, and particularly being from Hawaii, where there's very few black people, where the black, I don't think he identified. I think it was a culture shock when he realized that everyone identifies him as being black, when he probably felt something different.
There's two. Mm-hmm. Obama has another brother that lives in China. Of Japan.
These are his half-brothers, but go ahead.
We're half-brothers. They know each other, right? Then he got some sisters and brothers that live in Africa. They know each other, and they communicate with each other. So what's wrong with that?
There's nothing wrong with that at all. He didn't grow up with them. He saw his father after his father and their mother went their separate ways. I think the father abandoned them so he can continue his studies at Harvard. And
well, that's the cover story anyway.
Okay, that's the cover story if he wasn't a CIA operative agent. I've read that stuff too. All right, so the cover story, just the cover story, right. But he didn't see his son again until he was 11 years old, and he brought him a basketball. And that was that.
So he made
that
him
man had
that?
A lot of kids to look after, and that kid wasn't that important to him.
I'm saying, but they still are brothers and sisters, and they get along well together, and they do things well together.
Okay. All right. Let me bring Lo into the conversation also.
Praise
all
the
right.
Lord.
Mr. Lo, how are you doing? And
Shalom.
This lady.
How's
we're going to bring
everyone?
This lady
Shalom.
In also. Okay.
Hello. So what does,
hi.
Hi. So I don't understand what your point is. Why does he have to have eaten chitlins and greens growing up in order to, I didn't eat chitlins growing up.
I didn't eat chitlins either, but we made black eyed peas on New Year's
so
Eve. That's a tradition.
Why is that important for in terms of him being able to identify with being black? I don't see the point.
Well, the point is this. If you didn't grow up around anybody black or you never had any dealings with black people and you're the only black person around all these Caucasians, 9 times out of 10, you won't identify yourself with black people.
Well, I mean, at some point, but people can make a choice when they become older and wiser who they want to identify with. He's very smart.
Mm-hmm.
That's what you did.
After being called the N-word and having all the watermelon patch cartoons and monkey cartoons, I think he understands quite well. So what's the point?
The way I look at this thing is you people were talking about Clarence Thomas and Barack Obama. To me, they're nothing more than the taskmasters, and they have their little position over us, and they are the face of Black America for everybody else. If someone says, well, why don't we have more people in government, or why don't we have more people in the courts? Oh, we have Clarence. He's in the highest court in the land. What else do you want? That's all they are. They're the face for the Black people. And, you know, we'll give one or two of them a bone, but as far as a lot of them, no. So
what's surprising about that? That's how it's always operated.
Absolutely nothing. Absolutely nothing.
America,
the thing is,
wherever you go, that's how it always is. I mean, think of Kevin and Django.
Thing is,
he was like the
thing is, you have so many people now thinking that that they're on a level playing field now. They have these scales over there.
I haven't met one Black person that truly believes that.
I've met plenty. I've met plenty,
well,
and especially now since they say, oh, we got a Black president.
Been delusional people, but the average Black person knows better and doesn't think that way. There's always going to be people on the periphery that are delusional and sick.
Well, I won't lie. I think that us children of slaves deserve reparations, but you have Black people that say all we need to do is lace up and pull up our bootstraps and work our way through it. I believe
well,
that we are
entitled. That's because they're afraid underneath. They're afraid. And they're going to identify with the captive, the oppressor. And that's a psychological trick. And that's nothing new. I mean, look at Kevin. Did you see Django? Look at Kevin, how he treated Black people in Django. Ain't nothing changed.
Exactly. Hey, Miss Lady, how are you today?
Hello, I'm doing great. Thank you.
That's
hello,
good.
Miss Lady. I don't deal
you know,
with movies.
That,
I deal with real
you know,
people. That's why I see and say what I say, because I deal with real people every day.
Well,
people that grew up with white people, and they grew up with white people, but they were dark-skinned. But now they don't act like they're just dark-skinned, and that was it. Just because they grew up with their grandmothers and they were white, that didn't make them be different than I was or anybody else that hung around.
I
mean,
some of the worst people didn't grew up around
because,
all black
some people
that
hate people
mean that they're,
because
they're
of their skin color.
And
they
like.
Now, even within some families, I know more especially down south, you have the light-skinned grandchildren versus the darker-skinned grandchildren, they're treated differently. Even children, not even just with old, ignorant old people, but
and I know light-skinned people that are targeted and mistreated and abused because of the hatred and jealousy from dark-skinned people. So what's new
I
about
believe
that?
Yes, the thing is, nobody said there was anything new about it. The thing is, hey, it's a perpetual hate either way it goes. Between brothers and sisters. White people don't have that problem.
But when you have somebody that doesn't come from all that foolishness and that sickness.
White people don't
have
that problem.
You know what? Most of us do as Black folks, and we're aware of it. We may not talk about it openly all the time, but it still exists. I look at young people on Twitter.
That's what I was talking about. He doesn't have that background, so it's kind of nice. I think.
Well, let me tell you where that runs into a problem. When you grow up, okay, and it's not instilled in you as a child and as you're coming up, the obstacles and the injustices that Black people had to overcome, and I'm sure all of us were told when we were younger that when you're Black, you have to work twice as hard to get half as much just in order to make it, that you're going to be
held
to
a... His
mother told him that.
Let me finish what I'm saying. Hold on. Let me finish what I'm saying, okay? We're taught that. And if anybody on the panel and we're all around the same age, wasn't taught that, correct me. I know that we're taught that, okay?
I was.
All right.
And so
absolutely.
Was he by his mother.
I doubt
she
it.
Was
he
had
to
pay up
I doubt it. I doubt
very,
that
she was a philosopher.
You're
she
not
going to
let me, you're not gonna let me finish. You're not going to let me finish my thought. Let me be brief so I can let you talk, okay? My point is this. Is that you developed an understanding and a sensitivity for the obstacles that black people have had to overcome in this country and are continuously faced with, okay? When you're unaware and you're not sensitive to those needs, you do things like the president does. When he gets in, when he got in front of a black audience and they were complaining about the state of the economy, he told them basically, you know, stop complaining, get up off your lazy ass and go do something about it.
Mm-hmm.
That's basically what he said. And that wouldn't have been accepted had any white politician said that, but somehow he was able to get away with that. That's how dismissive he was.
I don't think that position to him not being sensitive. He understands exactly what time it is.
Yes, I don't. That's not the my point is not about people bickering about the president. Is that if people have a different point of view, that's just their point of view. I'm not trying to change your mind, but Martin Luther King was done the same way. A lot of black people did not like Martin Luther King
when
the time
lady,
he came
what
into existence.
What the
well, let me say something, Mr. Beasley.
What difference does it make, okay?
Well, let
and
me
I
say
something,
Mr. Beasley.
The difference. Go ahead.
See, my comments are about what he does, not his personality or not the color of his skin, his policies, okay? And obviously, if anybody's looking at the policies that he has administered, they haven't been helpful to black people. Now, he promised he would do this for this group, that he did things for the Hispanics. He made sure the Indians or the Natives got their past due money they were supposed to get from some treaty, but he hasn't really done anything for us. And he has made it plain that we shouldn't ask him to. He made a lot of promises that he hasn't kept in general.
It's going to Miss LaGonia. What policy? Wait
a minute, excuse me. Basically, I feel like he's totally ignored us. Now, that's how I feel.
I do understand are you saying his policies have talked about the Hispanics or the gay group or whatever, but he specifically hasn't talked about improving life for black people.
I'm saying he has taken specific actions to pass laws and things that affect the lives of other groups, but he hasn't done anything for us specifically.
Well, you know, black,
but you
black
know what?
Black people are in a general way.
When the Republicans wanted to cut off everybody, a lot of unemployment checks, he got an extension. Well, he knows most of those, as a percentage of the population, is going to go to black people because black people have the highest unemployment.
Well, Miss
so
Lady,
unemployment, maybe some have never been employed. You got to, in any statistic, the majority group is going to get the majority of the benefits.
Right. So he's doing it in an indirect way, and I understand
not
what you're saying.
Well,
but I'm wondering what policies that he
don't do that. Don't.
I'm
don't.
Just asking the question.
The man came up and was specific.
No, I'm
the man
not talking
came up
you.
And was specific. You talking to a panel of people. Whether you want
to
address
I'm
what
asking
I'm saying
question
about
I'm talking to a panel of people. I'm talking to one person. I asked the question, what policies did he do that harmed us?
Mays, are you
what I want to know.
Ms. Mays, are you asking me?
Yes.
Okay. Well, for one thing, he passed laws for gay people. He did something in with the university, some kind of grant or something for Hispanic people. He made sure the Indians got past due treaty money that they've been waiting on for decades and decades. But when the Uhuru people asked him when he was campaigning, well, what are you going to do for the black community, he did just what Mr. Beasley said he did. He just rebuffed the question and made it act like, you know, that they shouldn't ask specific about what he's going to do for the black community. He basically disassociated himself with the black community. And he always approached
a lot of politics.
You know, we're all America, but yet and still he did certain things for certain groups in America, but nothing for our group.
Well, let me step in here for a minute. Let me step in here for a minute.
I don't know who went first, but okay, here we go.
I'm first because I'm the host, so I'm first.
Oh, I didn't know you were back, Mr. Talk.
All right. Here it is. Now, you know, all y'all making some good points, but here's my take on this whole thing. The president, he has fallen into what all politicians do eventually. You know, he says one thing, but once he gets in office, it has to change. Now, in his speaking of the president, he did like everybody else did. Blacks for a long time, anytime we fight for something just for us, it's always turned around and put in package with other minorities. It's mm-hmm. always done like that. Now, mm-hmm. now here's the other thing. The gay rights people, they have pushed, been knocking on doors, you know, up in the Senate and everything, making sure their agenda is getting published or getting taken care of. The Latinos are doing the same thing. Now, as far as black folk, you know what? We haven't asked him for anything. I'm just going to put that. We never asked him for it. We were so happy with having a black man elected. The black community automatically put him on this pedestal expecting something was going to be done for the black community. Asking for something to be done specifically never did.
People asked him directly. I'm sorry. The Uhuru people.
Go ahead.
You said nobody asked him, and I said the Uhuru people did.
Oh, okay.
Well,
that's all
you one thing we have to realize is that as black people, we're assimilated. We're a part of the larger American culture. So there's not too many things that can be done that are going to help us specifically. I mean, maybe there's neighborhood things and additional funding to help in blighted in certain areas, maybe. But we're part of this whole process. Now, the one thing that I can think of that affects black people more than others is the indiscriminate sentencing when it comes down to crack cocaine versus powdered cocaine. And the many thousands and thousands of black men that are incarcerated with these draconian football number sentences. Now, they finally spoke to that, but this is 5 years into the administration. They finally spoke to that, but I can't think of too many other specific things that would just help, that would help black people in particular. We're part of this in bigger society.
Well, that didn't stop him from some specific for Hispanic people and for gays.
Well, the gay agenda is much larger than people knocking on doors. It's
absolutely
coming from above. You know, it's coming from above. It's a big thing, and in fact, it's coming from so high above that he changed his policy.
Well, he
right.
can come from Kenya.
Well, his law that he passed is the gay agenda, the Hispanic agenda. You got gay congresspeople, and you got
yep.
gay, and those people are the ones that's passing the laws and passing
right.
them up for him to sign them.
Right.
If you notice, in this
and they got the money that's backing it, and where we at, we ain't putting our money nowhere, nothing but our mouth.
On the
that's
place where
we're
putting our money, only place we're putting our money is in nail shop,
what agenda do we have?
Things. That's the only place we putting our money at, nail shops and hair salons and foolish stuff like that.
So that's
Jordan.
Why
okay.
when you see those congresspeople.
Right.
He has fewer black people in his administration than George Bush had in his and then Bill Clinton had in his. And I noticed the few black people that he does have in high positions like Susan Rice and Valerie Jarrett, they're all women. There's no black men around.
And he also appointed some that they won't even
think
they
about
won't
it.
Even,
think, I just
he
think
also
about
appointed
it.
Some that they won't even let come to the floor. He appointed
well,
a whole lot of people, judges mm-hmm. at that. That they
all
won't
right,
even.
Hold on.
The Congress
hold
won't even.
A minute. Let me bring Wesley in. I was going to say low. Let me bring Wesley in. Wesley, welcome to the
Hi,
show.
Mr. Hey, I want to greet y'all in peace and blessings, man. Let me ask y'all, each one of y'all that's talking, somebody brought a reparation, correct? Okay, how many of y'all have looked in y'all own family? Go to y'all county archives and look and see who all y'all family during slavery. That's the only way to get reparation. I know a lady that in Chicago, her family was owned by the Captain Morgan Run Company. She got her reparations, okay? That's the only way we have to do it. Each one of us got to look, find out where your family was from, go to that state archive and see who owned y'all family and then start petitioning them for reparations. That's the only way to do it. Obama not going to get it to y'all. We got to get it ourselves.
Well, Brother Wesley, how you doing today?
I'm doing fine.
Well, I'm not trying to be oppositional to you, but I never heard of individuals getting reparations. Nations get reparations.
I just told you how your family could get reparations. If your family was owned by Captain Morgan Rum or Dixie Plantation with chopped sugar cane, look at Miss O'Bower. She's the only one that figured out her family that by how slave history was brought over here from Arusha, Africa. Okay, we have to look up your own family. These people are not going to give you nothing. They're trying to hide stuff from y'all, okay? That's the only way to do it. You got to get your own family name and clear your own family name history. Go to your county archives where your family from and go to the state archives, look up your family, and see who owned your plantation or what plantation they was on.
Brother Wesley, I said, I'm not trying to just be oppositional to you. What I said was, I have never read a list of individuals that got reparations, but I've seen a list of nations that have gotten reparations.
I just told you the lady from Captain Morgan, Ms. Ngoma. And plus,
well, did she sue a corporation?
Okay, I'll give you another example. Could you let me speak for a minute, ma'am? Look up Lily McCain. Her family was owned by John McCain and somewhere in Mississippi, okay? I'm telling you, okay? You have never known that. I'm telling you that, okay? You know it not.
First name, Brother Wesley, slow down, please. I want to write
McCain.
The name down.
Lily McCain. Look it up. Google it.
Well, I can't because you won't. Can you spell the first name for me, please?
You know how to spell Lily? L-I-L-L-Y. Lily, like a flower.
Okay,
Lily
I got it now. And you said McCain?
McCain, John McCain, Senator John McCain. She tried to get her reparations from McCain family, and he's the only member of the McCain family that will not recognize her. She's in Macomb, Mississippi, Macomb County, Mississippi, I think.
Okay, thank you very much for that information.
Yeah. He makes a good point. Unfortunately, it's hard, you know, chasing the genealogy of black folks, especially when people were nomadic and left the South.
You can go to the Mormon Church.
You
got
a Mormon Church about it.
It's going to be difficult, but
it's not difficult.
Continue the research, it can be done. And he makes a good point, and that's impressive. I can imagine if you were to trace your lineage and you were to find some, you know, deep pockets at the end of that lineage, that they would be happy to settle that case instead of the publicity getting out.
That may be
true,
Beasley. What was the name of the organization of lawyers that were working for a number of years towards reparations?
That was Johnny Cochran. So they killed him. That's why they killed Johnny Cochran. He was getting ready to do something like that.
Well, do you know the name of the organization? I can't think of the acronym.
Now, you want to know something? No, but I know that Randall Robinson wrote a book about it, that I read the book.
Is that the one why he quit America, Randall Robinson?
Yeah, that's an excellent book. He makes such a strong case, he'll fire you up after reading that.
Mm-hmm.
Randall Robinson.
Let me ask Wesley a question real fast. Okay, Wesley, we go down and do the research. Then we ask the world family for our reparations, and they say they give them our reparations. Then what?
Do whatever you want to do with it, man. That's yours, okay? That's your family. You got to make amends for your own ancestors,
man. You're missing my point. You're missing the point of the question. In other words, since you got your money, then you just stop trying to do everything else? You stop trying to better the community because you got yours already? What comes next?
What if you want to better yourself and big your ancestors up, big your descendants up? That's up to you, bro. Everybody got their own what they want to do, man. That's
right.
The whole problem.
Everybody wants to do what everybody else do.
Do approach your boat, like I said yesterday, man. Do approach your boat, man. If you can help somebody, if you bless.
Or you can help others do the same thing.
that's right.
That doesn't have to be your life work. Doesn't have to be your life work.
Right.
But you can help others do the same thing.
The thing that haunts our community the most is if say I was to come into a nice sum of money, and in our community, the first thing I'm going to do is buy a nice big car and probably move somewhere around people that don't look like me to say I have a status now and blow
you know,
some of that. And,
that's the blame game. The blame game, man. People going to do what they want to do, man. Some people
righteous
going to try to help other people out, and some people going to be greedy, man.
I let you talk all that time.
No, you've been talking the whole show.
Only
thing
you
can
do
is
you should have came in.
Green room. We haven't worked this one out yet.
Only thing I'm saying is, the only thing I'm saying is, for the most part, a lot of our people are only going to be selfish. I didn't say everybody. I said a lot of our people are going to be selfish.
It's hard. It's hard to save the world.
It's
hard to help folks. And brother, the sad reality.
They don't want to be helped.
The sad reality.
Brother Lord.
If you're in the hood and you come up with some money, you become a target. You have to get out of it. That's the real. That's the reality.
Not necessarily,
you know?
Man. If you have
yourself
right.
Not necessarily.
If you handle yourself right and be righteous, man, and show people. If you show people the light, your blessing, I guarantee, man, you can stay right where you at. You ain't got to run all the time, man. Okay? If you're doing the right thing, you're doing the right thing, you ain't got to run, man.
Well, why would you want to live around blight and squalor when you have the resource to live around nice?
Okay,
let me ask you a question.
I'll tell you why. I've given this thought. I've witnessed it in Los Angeles and up here in the San Francisco Bay Area because they got tired of making that 2 or 3 hour freeway jaunt to come to their jobs every day. That's one of the main reasons.
Is the structure is better there than it is where they were.
Well,
and the buildings are better. The structure.
Well, it seems like in the past 15 years, the whole gentrification movement is that they moved the hood out to the suburbs, and they eliminated a lot of public housing, and white folks have moved in.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of it is younger folks. Well, I don't know. I'm a city person. The city has a lot to offer as far as arts and cultural things, and it's close to people's work. I think that was one of the main reasons. And they're also
Your boy, George Wilburn, that is on a show with Michael Baston, George the comedian, I remember he was trying to buy a house a few years ago, and this man got money, you know. He made a bid on a house, I think $2.8 million or something, and the house had been on the market for like a year or so, and, you know us, we want to get out there and buy them, so we got money. Well, what happened was when those people found out that he was black, they did not want to sell him the house. And the neighbors also came to the agent and said, hey, we just don't want him out here with us. You know, so it's not always good to run out and live amongst the white folks.
Who breathing all hard?
I don't know. That's a good question, though.
Wow. Hold on, let me see if Super Negro is ready to talk now. Super Negro, are you there?
I got a question for that Negro Wesley. Hey, listen, if you know about all of this reparations and all of this other crap that you claim you up here bumping your guns, claiming that you know about, why ain't you go ahead and get your family reparations, Negro?
I got mine, brother. Okay, I got mine.
You
know what
I got,
bro.
I never heard of
no crap. I got me, bro.
I never,
all right,
I
now
never
you talk. Where you live at, man? Where you live, bro?
All right. Well, we're going to send them to the green room because I already see where that's going.
Can I listen in the green room this time? You never let me listen to it.
No.
That's the good stuff. I come here for this stuff. I like to smart talk. But...
Now, you controversial enough on the face page.
I know.
Yes, ma'am.
But I still
I have a
listen.
Question. Do
yes.
you all think we should have a plebiscite? We never had one, you know. We are people who got branded to be Americans, but we didn't have any say-so in the matter. I see somebody out in the chat room saying I'm un-American. Well, I don't consider myself
what
un-American.
Is...
I consider myself stateless.
Right.
Whoa.
And that chaps my behind with that un-American crap. Just because you say something that doesn't go with the status quo, you're un-American. And I don't care what anybody say. I, for one, am a veteran. I went and bled for this place. So if you didn't do that, don't say anything about any comment I have or anybody else has. That chaps my behind that un-American crap. Man, like I said yesterday, Amerigo Vespucci, I didn't come out of him, so I'm not an American.
I don't know. I was born here in America. My mother and father were born here in America, and their mothers and fathers were born here in America.
But do you think we should have a plebiscite? We didn't have a choice. Our ancestors... were here, but when we weren't at the table when they wrote the Constitution, we didn't have any say so about how anything was going to go here. So you can't be free if you don't have any say so, or you have no choice. You're not free. Now America's about liberty
hear,
and freedom, but we didn't get that. We've been assimilated into somebody else's culture, right?
I hear where you're coming from, but I don't have any problem being identified as an American.
I didn't ask you if you had a problem being identified as an American. I asked you, do you think we should have a plebiscite?
I gave you more credit, man. I thought that you was on the side of the revolution, but I see who
revolution.
You are now.
Huh?
What
revolution? The side of the revolution? Man, come on.
Revolution.
You know my grandfather,
used Native
to say?
American.
My grandfather said you
could
protest your ass all the way down to Skid Row, and it took a long time for me to get it. He said, you can protest your ass going down to Skid Row. He said, I got four kids to feed. I'm going to work. You can protest your ass down to Skid Row.
So when we in the back room talking up all the big plans and everything, you the guy with the radio, with the recorder in your boot, huh?
Nah, I'm not no snitch. I'm not no snitch. And I'm not no rat. And I can prove that with paperwork.
I heard that.
Right.
But
I'm not snitch.
You
I'm
didn't
not,
answer
I
my
agree.
Question. Do you
I,
think
I
we should have a plebiscite
yes.
as a people?
I agree with you, yes.
Oh, this is Brother Lowe?
Absolutely.
I think we should, too.
Absolutely.
Because you don't have a free choice. And that's no different than when they were branding our ancestors with one of them things they use on cows.
A cattle prod. That's a branding iron.
A branding iron.
Because you're supposed to have a choice and a loyalty,
right.
You know what I'm saying?
Right.
That you
and
swear
boy,
to a nation. So if you didn't
have
a choice, there's
a
problem.
He didn't willingly quote unquote emancipate the people. Anyway, I mean his back was up against the wall when this happened.
Well, he didn't emancipate the
absolutely.
Slaves for equal citizenship too. For
but
equal
that's why
status.
Absolutely.
He made it real clear. I don't have a problem with anybody wanting to do that.
Mm-hmm.
But you know, in the same respect, with all of the struggle and pain and suffering and hard work that all of our ancestors have gone through in this country. That makes us more American than anybody else. We've earned our right to be called American if that's what you choose. Now, if you choose not to, that's fine, too.
There
I
you go. That's
a,
where I'm coming
I,
from. See,
yeah, I don't have a big issue with it. I don't have a big issue. You know, I can only speak for myself.
Well, I was just curious. I wanted everybody to say how they felt about it. But let me hit this in a minute. Monster Zombie says, no one can prove that America is a corporation, yet they say it over and over again. Well, Monster Zombie, all you have to do is go read the Organic Act of 1871, and that's when the United States was incorporated.
No, only thing Monster got to do is come out the chat room and get on these lines.
There you
come
go.
Talk to us, Monster. That's what you need to do. Get out of my chat
right.
room. Come get on these phone lines and dialogue with us. Since you got so much to say in the chat room, come on. come on. And think, we waiting. And think, that's your invitation.
And think of a better name so we could take you serious.
You're right about that.
Hold on. Let me bring Michael in. Let me bring Michael
here
in.
Here we go.
Here you go, Michael. You're on.
Oh, Lord.
Michael, you're on.
Hey, how you doing, Mr. Talk? I had to wait. I mean, I can hear the moans and groans in the background. That's why I didn't, you know, come on time like you said. How are you, ladies and gentlemen, doing?
Yeah.
Right. How you doing?
I'm good.
Well, I'm just catching y'all, and y'all talking about an American citizen and what's not an American citizen. And the rights, I understand what you're saying, Nagoni. I understand your philosophy about the slave and what we couldn't do now, but living in the now, there's a meaning to an American citizen where someone is geographically born, and with that geographical location, they have certain rights. Like right
oh
now,
my,
I can get on call.
My, he just didn't
it
get any.
They have. They still have
go.
To vote to give you the right to vote.
Go.
And they have to renew
I'm
that gone. Every 25 years, I think it is. Isn't the Voting Rights Act renewed every 25 years? That ought to tell you you're not a full-fledged citizen of any country if you got to have your voting rights renewed every 25 years.
Right. Right. No. Right. But no law, what is ever etched in stone? We live in a society where the laws change all the time. The law is not about
that
right or wrong. It's
changed.
About interpretation. It's about subjection. That's why it's not about right or
okay,
wrong.
So
wait, wait, let me ask
you,
name me one other group of people that have
talk,
their
so
voting rights
point,
renewed
though.
Every 25 years by the Congress. Name me one other group of people in this so-called country that have to have their voting rights renewed every 25 years.
Well,
name me one.
Well, listen.
Oh, no, name me
case,
one. Even name me one to say they're in.
Okay, it's none. It's none. It's
okay.
None. Okay, it's none. But having said that, since you and me know these facts, when they voted on again, they can pass the bill to make sure it comes indefinitely so they won't do it again. When they vote again, let all of us go to Washington, protest, and make sure that this goes indefinitely since we know these facts that you're presenting us today because
well,
the people can change
have.
That.
Question
I'm
I
not much
again,
nowhere to protest to get nothing from nobody that I, that the look listen. You see, that's what the reason why I asked should we have a plebiscite because see you're supposed to volunteer to be a part of a nation, not be assimilated by force. That's where I'm coming from.
Well, no,
my
hold
question,
up,
my
well,
question
well,
is
wait,
hold
wait,
up, well, what I'm saying though, if I was
wait,
born,
wait, wait,
then, well, hold up.
Okay,
but
wait a minute.
Cut me off. Okay.
I'm sorry. I apologize. But you said something. You said you were born here. But see, where did the concept of the nation state come from? Okay? And the fact that you were born here makes you think that you're a citizen because you were born on this land. But let me tell you something. In the UK, there's three generations of Rastafarian or Jamaicans that have immigrated into the UK, but they changed their status. They're not automatically considered citizens in the UK just because they had their granddaddy was born there. And they've been discussing the same thing here for 5 years. They call it anchor babies.
Yeah.
Okay.
Okay.
An American citizen can give up their citizenship and won't be a part of this country anymore, can't they?
I don't know, but that's not what I'm discussing right now,
Maze.
So
okay, Maze, we can go to that point because that's my ultimate point. That
mm-hmm.
I want to go to, Mace, but that's a little bit later. We have to talk about.
Say you don't have a real citizenship, is what I'm saying.
Oh no,
if voting rights have to be renewed every 25 years, they're having a discussion for 5 years about anchor babies. You better check real good because see, they're using that topic to discuss it, saying anchor babies like people, immigrants that come here, and then their wife or somebody's pregnant and they have a baby on this soil, and then the baby's considered a citizen, but the parents aren't. So now, if you think about it, if you think about your history, you're in the same boat.
Listen,
no. Well, you've been here longer.
The military weapons right now are defending you from another country. Nicole.
They're not.
You're an American citizen.
It has
yesterday,
military weapons in other countries about profit. It doesn't have anything to do with defending.
No, I'm letting you know now. I'm letting you know that if another country tries to attack this 48 states or American country while you're in it, this country is going to defend you as a United States citizen.
Yeah, that's
what. And what I'm letting you know, as far as this, okay, words have a lot of words that we use, but some words we can measure. when they're saying someone is as foreign as when a person is born. Now, you talk about generation, but I'm talking about, let's go to what they say. You always say they, but what's on paper? It says someone is born in a geographical location. That person that's born in that geographical location, it's under those laws that that geographical location has, which is the Constitution of America, and it has certain rights. And what I'm saying is, with that United States citizenship, there's certain rights that you can do, for instance, like talk on Blog Talk Radio about your own country. But if you don't, you can renounce yourself. If you renounce yourself as an American citizen, there's a lot of benefits as an American you're not going to get. That's why you always hear people that want to go back to Africa, they have dual citizenship, because they never truly want to give up the citizen of being an American citizen. It has benefits across the nation. If
there's no such thing as an American citizen.
Why do people over Africa want to come over here and be and get that green card and become
American?
I'm
not going to get anywhere with you, so I'm not going to bother to try.
Well, I have benefits.
American citizen, okay. You are a U.S. citizen. If you're anything, that's what you are. You're not an American citizen. There's no such thing as an American citizen. Okay?
Well, I'll let you know
Mike,
one thing. I can go.
Mike,
okay.
You mentioned something. Let me address something. Let me point out something that you said. You said that if this country were attacked by an outside, you know, government
entity.
Or country, entity that we would be, you know, that this country would protect us as U.S. citizens from these attacks. But the truth is that you have a history in this country where they didn't, this country didn't even protect black people from its fellow Americans.
Right. Okay. We understand that. But listen
it's
to what I'm saying.
That's why someone thinks like Sister Ngonya, because we haven't had any of the benefits of citizenry when our own citizens, our own fellow citizens, have reduced us to a second class. That's not so much now as it was before. So that's why she feels that way, and I tend to agree with her now that I think about it.
Okay, but listen, United States, people always think, Miss, you always talk about United States. The United States is really no different than other countries. Russia has their problems. Russia's fighting against Russia.
The United
America's
States is very
against,
different.
Hold up,
listen to me.
Listen to hold up, Miss. I understand every country that you can look at has chaos within. Most of the 99.9% of the country is chaos within. We may have racial. Listen, Russia and other countries may be starving their peoples in the other ways. They can't let their people have certain freedoms that we do here. Now, what I want to say is I use the measure if another country tries to attack us. I didn't say within. I said if another foreign country tries to attack us, the United States would affect their citizens within this country. That's what I'm saying. And that
Mike,
I'm saying.
Mike, do you realize?
Right. Every country has its politics, so they have their chaos within.
Mike, do you
every
realize?
Country has their politics, so they have their chaos within.
What are you saying, these?
Mike, do you realize?
Keep going on.
But hold on, Mike. Do you realize that you didn't address anything that I said, and you end up repeating yourself?
I did.
Do you realize that you do this repeatedly, and that's why it's hard to have a conversation with you?
Okay. Read the chat room. I am the universe. Read that. U.S. citizen is the created thing, slave, the American citizen are those descendants of the Mayflower and Plymouth Rock.
Hold on,
listen,
we all understand
like
we
you
human
say the
beings.
Same thing over and over
real.
Again.
Hold up, Beasley, listen, Mr. Talk, he tried to expose me, and he tried to accept
my
challenge.
I'm not trying to expose you. I'm articulating what you do on a regular basis.
Okay, so won't you? So since you're attacking me the way I communicate,
I'm
can you let me defend myself? You are. You are. You're saying that you said something and I voted your split. No, I attacked what you said head on. You said, Mike, the reason why people think what you said, what I said about an outside entity, you went and you talk about envy. You never, look, you went to another realm. And I gave you an example that all countries had their fights. And I'm talking about
I made it. I made it.
Russia, Russia would defend all
their
citizens.
Run 10 times around the room and ain't getting
exactly.
No,
I know,
no, you read it 10 times around
you know,
the room.
Low,
and pick up
you know, everyone can feel your hatred with me. You and BZ, y'all was more.
I don't
than
have
I don't
any,
hate you at all.
Have any
all
hate
that
man, I don't know
look,
you.
I've been talking
I don't
about
know
y'all on my own show.
Uh-oh. Oops.
Just like you said, sister, I don't feel the love here, and you know, for it still to be a standing law that they have to go and vote on a law to give me a right to vote or to give me certain privileges, then I don't feel a part of the whole equation.
I don't either.
Exactly.
What happened to, what happened that they don't renew the law? What are you going to do?
You ain't
well,
going
to
vote.
Who knows what we will do if happens. I mean, that's like predicting the future. The point is, that's the basis from which I'm speaking about the status of citizenship or whatever it's called, because really there isn't any. I've already went into that. I won't bother to repeat all that stuff. But, you know, people are supposed to be free to choose and not have a so-called citizenship, a second-class one at that, imposed on them. I don't accept it.
Right.
That's why I say I'm stateless.
Right.
Some people have dual citizenship.
Yeah, some, but not many.
And then a lot of them give up their citizenship, and when you get ready to get a passport, I don't know what they stamped on them, but it makes you a U.S. citizen. And
well,
if you lose it, I don't know where you're going to go.
Well, I don't either, Mace.
I can't hear what that one.
Talking about, I think we're, you know, you know.
Well, really, really and truly, if people could travel freely, I don't think that you should have to have a passport to travel freely.
If you were free and not owned by a corporation, you would be able to travel free. How about that?
Right. And, you know, and for people now, to say, oh, well, and we all heard, oh, well, we have Obama now. He's the president now. That should have been one of the very first things he should have attacked.
Thank you.
There's no way these people are called citizens of this nation, and we have to come back and give them the right to vote every few years.
I think it's every 25 years it has to be renewed.
And then on top of that, when you get people from other nations that come here and get citizenship here, they don't vote. They're not under that scrutiny. We are.
No, because they have dual citizenship, most of them.
No,
they
there's people who come
here
made that become Americans, so-called U.S. citizens, because they go through a five-year process. And then they swear oath to this country or corporation, whatever it is, and they don't have to have this.
Why y'all didn't let Michael talk, man? Why y'all run that Negro out of here?
We didn't run him out of here, man. If you experienced him on a regular basis,
wait a minute, hold on.
There you go.
Hold on for a minute. Hold on. Now, I know my co-host was just talking. I know
Sorry,
this.
Go ahead.
Okay.
I was done.
I know.
I thank you, though, Mr.
Done.
Talk. I was just making the point that the people who come here and immigrate here freely from China or any other place and decide they want to become a U.S. citizen, and they go through a five-year process, they swear an oath as a citizen to the U.S., and they don't have to have their voting rights renewed and voted on by Congress every 25 years. Now, we've been here for 400 damn years. Excuse me, I'm getting upset now. Okay?
Go ahead. Tell the truth.
That's because you're
still and people want to sit up and hoop and holler about how this country is protecting us, and if you don't want to be a citizen, go and, you know, get rid of your citizenship. But you don't have none. That's the point I'm trying to make.
That's what I'm saying.
If you do,
still
it's
a nigger.
Class at best. Like I said, our ancestors wasn't at the table when they wrote the Constitution, when they decided they was going to have the Bill of Rights and so forth and so on. So that's where I'm coming from. And just because you have somebody running around in the White House that look like you and don't claim you, he's never claimed us. He said he was a mutt.
I didn't want him to claim me. See, that's what I mean.
No, if
you want to take some pride in an elitist person who is in the White House,
what makes
you going to? You don't want to address the fact that your voting rights have to be renewed every 20 years. That don't tell you the status of you in this. If that doesn't tell you the status of your so-called citizenship here, I don't know what could. I don't know anything else you could question. Why is it we have to have our voting rights renewed every 25 years?
And a Native American can't control anything on this planet, in this country, and it belongs to them before anybody stepped on it.
That wasn't even the question or the point.
That's what I'm saying, and a lot of them.
And as far as I'm concerned,
I ain't paying attention.
That's all I can say. Go ahead.
What'd you say?
I said, as far as I'm concerned, anybody that's not upset about certain things that are going on here is not paying attention.
Yeah, that's right. Anybody won't call people mutts and stuff. They got a problem with something.
Called himself a mutt, Maze. I didn't say that. He said that on Nation TV.
But he checked on the census, he checked the black box.
I don't know what he checked the black box.
I know that he was a mutt.
I don't have no problem with the president and those that do that's their own business, and I'm going to leave
it
like
that.
The question I have is, when someone does have something to say against this man, Maze, you're not obligated to defend him. You're not obligated to say
I don't have to think about it right now. I don't have to be obligated to offend him. I don't have
to
be obligated, but if
you don't have to be obligated.
My opinion is as good as yours.
Absolutely.
Are you obligated to say something because I offend the president?
Let the man talk, Maze.
We'll make a green room, Mr. Tom.
If I bring 2 points.
Look out.
If I bring 10 points against the president right now, 10 valid points, I am going to be very, very quickly aggressed by someone that's going to bring 15 points for him in his favor. I'm not saying that the system is perfect or just. But what I know, what I see, just like the sister said, if you're not paying any attention, then you don't really know. From what I see, the man hasn't done diddly squat to help my people. And when it all boils down, every president that has been in office before looked like his mama. And they have they people. And they messed on my people and all other people. So when I get somebody in there that looks something like me, I would expect or assume that he would say, well, I know I can't do everything out front because they'll label me a black nationalist and they'll kill me or something. So I'll just backdoor some things in. This guy doesn't try to get anything in for us specifically. But if
he even turned the black caucus away.
Right. If you're gay... we got to do something against this, and, you know, the gay people should have this and that and the third. And if you that or the third, he got something to say. It's going to come out of his mouth. But if you look like us, he don't have anything to say. And I'd be damned if you got these older black people.
Let me ask this question.
You got these older black people that's on Social Security and everything, scraping up $25 to send to your campaign, even though that $25 didn't do anything because the big corporations actually paid for you. But these people love you because you're something that they never expected to happen. I despise it.
It's people
that are worshiping him or accepting everything that he does or doesn't do on the basis of his skin color and not the context of his character.
His character has shown
that he is a person that will say things one way and do them another.
Habitually lied.
Habitually.
Well, let me ask this question. I'm just going to put this question out there. What do we, the black community, have to offer the president? I mean, what does he get out of helping us?
Black people won't do nothing for themselves, man.
Can I speak? lip service is what we got, and that's all we have to do, and we're not listening. See, he can give me 10 points against it, and that's his business. And I can give him 10 points of how I feel, and that's my business. But I'm still not trying to give him from getting upset because he's giving his 10 points. That's what
Maze.
He's doing.
Maze.
We talked about that 15 minutes
Maze.
Ago.
No, I was on
Maze.
Mute, so I couldn't
Maze.
Have fun.
Hello, Maze? Will you listen?
Yes.
Thank you. Let me ask you this question. What do black people have to offer the president? What does he
Nothing.
Get out of helping us?
We voted. He
Nothing?
Got our vote. Voted for him.
They
oh,
can't offer him nothing because they're not offering
him. They want your vote.
Can I see? They're not offering him nothing because they're not offering themselves nothing.
They
ain't asking for nothing. They ain't doing nothing but complaining and whining about something.
I'm going
to all through the
day. I'm going to respond to that. I'm going to
all I hear is a Republican. All I hear is listening to the Republican repeat. That's all I hear. And I'm listening. I hear it day in and day out.
I'll say this. Only one person talk at a time now.
So these words that I hear. Let me tell you what I hear come out of the Republican mouth.
Keep
our families,
on.
We got to take care of our grandchildren. I can't speak.
Go ahead.
Like I was about
we got
to
take
say.
Care of our grandchildren.
What
our
I
grandchildren,
see?
What grandchildren? We want our country back.
Boy,
and all this stuff that I hear black. Coming out of our mouth each and every day is the color of the man's skin, had nothing to do with policy. Much had nothing to do with policy, and all of this different stuff is not necessary unless there's something wrong at the top.
I think when I speak.
Because you wouldn't want nobody to talk about you in that way, so
oh
I think
God.
It's disrespectful. Talk about the job, not about the person, about him being.
Exactly. Talk about
I know
the
for a fact when I
that's
speak,
what you sound like
you're
mad about.
Critical of the president
talk about
has
the policy.
It has everything
you never do, Maze.
With the content or lack of content in his character. And the way that he ran initially as
mm-hmm.
the anti-Bush and a transparent government,
mm-hmm.
And everything that he ran on was so refreshing as someone that respected the Constitution, that
mm-hmm.
someone was going to make change was the word. And
mm-hmm.
it hasn't been change. It's been more of the same. And it's actually been intensified. The warrantless spying on American citizens by the NSA is unconstitutional. It's egregious. It's bad.
Can I stop right there? Let me ask you a question.
It's not what this country is supposed to be about.
Beasley, can I ask you a question about the NSA?
There
the person that went into the, was contracting the NSA, was it the government part of it or was it the contractor part?
You're talking so fast. Can you ask me that again, please?
Was the NSA person that did all this talking about spying and stuff, did he work for the government or did he work for a contractor?
Edward Snowden was a contractor.
Okay.
He was hired by like an outside group and he did contract work for the NSA.
To do it. Yes, okay.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
That doesn't prove anything.
Well, you know something?
I just asked
him a question. Well, the way the president ran in 2008, that he would be eliminating things like this, because this has been going on for a while. But with technology,
that's right.
What technology is that he allowed for this to be increased
right.
with this prism and these other
right.
things. Now, what surprises me, the NSA is supposed to really protect us from outside entities trying to do harm to this country or corporation, when in fact they've been focusing on collecting data, okay, collecting information on U.S. citizens. So they're collecting this data for who knows what reasons, but I best believe that if I were to ever have any issue anywhere, okay, maybe I have to sue a company or a corporation, they will be able to find something on me to discredit me. All of us have said and written things recklessly or spoke in a way that probably wouldn't be very popular or frowned upon on the Internet.
True.
That can be used to discredit you.
True.
And it's all of this information is just being collected and compiled, and that's bad. That's wrong. That's evil. It doesn't serve us any good, and he's allowed for – and this is just one particular issue, but this is the issue that resonates strongest with me.
And another issue is Guantanamo Bay. He promised to close that, and now they're remodeling it.
And they didn't close because John McCain was standing up having a fit about it being closed.
Oh,
John McCain is on the
senator.
Okay, hold on for a minute, y'all. Hold on for a minute, because I got I'm bringing Antoinette in. She's gonna play that clip where the president called himself a mutt. So let me bring her in.
Thank you, Antoinette.
Okay. Antoinette, darling, are you there?
Yes, I'm here. Hello, Miss Mays. Miss Mays, Mr. Talk, I'm gonna play it in a second. But Miss Mays, do you remember when?
Okay.
Pundit and I used to do the show, and you were there when Pundit played that clip because we were really upset about it. But I'm gonna play
was
it
I
now
really?
Because, yes, ma'am, you were. But I'm gonna play it. Yes, I'm gonna play it now for you.
Yeah, play it when he called himself
he
a mutt.
He said that as a joke.
Oh,
okay,
come on,
well, just a moment.
I remember when it happened.
Okay.
You take too much seriously.
Okay.
Well, you know, that's an opinion too.
Give the president a standing ovation for that wonderful speech.
Yeah, I hope you don't try to sue Monsanto, Beasley. He blocked that altogether.
Hey,
just talk.
You
hear me, man?
Yeah, that's against the law. We can
hear
you,
Mr.
Well.
Talk.
We can hear
you. Hey, I try to bring a perspective in, man, because me, I don't know about y'all. I don't like being a thermometer. I like to be a thermostat. I eat a thermometer always tell the temperature what's happening. Let me finish.
Hold up. Wait a minute, Wesley.
Did you get that? Do I need to do that again?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes, please.
I remember when he called himself a mutt.
A lot of shelter dogs are mutts like me.
A mutt just like me.
A lot of shelter dogs are mutts like me. Whether we're
going to
be able to balance those two things, I think
is
a
question.
Okay, make
it stop.
Yeah.
Okay.
I remember when he said that not too long after he got in office. I didn't think it was too funny.
I
don't know. You hear him calling him a black man because he called himself a mutt.
Yeah.
Well, he said that they were mutts like him.
I'm saying,
I mean,
you
don't
have a problem with him calling himself a black man.
I'm putting the link in the
chat
room for you.
He wants to.
On his census, he checked black, which shows how disloyal he is.
So that's what he considers himself as being.
Which shows how disloyal he is to the people that raised him and fed him and nurtured him and took care of him, which were his white grandparents and his white mother. He'll turn his back on them and deny it.
Well, I hope y'all can hear me, man.
Go ahead.
What I try to do is be a thermostat instead of thermometer. A thermometer always sit around and tell the temperature, right? I like to set the temperature. That's what I try to do. That's why when I call to make a statement, I try to bust y'all brain open and make y'all think out the box. Okay, to my young brother, that's all good. He can call me whatever he want, but I damn sure don't answer to it. Peace and blessings. Just be a thermostat, set the temperature, instead of being a thermometer telling the temperature. Y'all, we can do it. It's on us. And I'd be damned if I'm going to sit back and say, Obama going to be another damn Nelson Mandela, where only the rich white people done got over there, and we still sitting around being a thermometer instead of a thermostat. My people, peace and blessings, y'all.
Yes, and Wesley, he said a very true thing. He said, it's us, because we have the power. They, the corporations, they're nothing without the people. See, when you keep on saying that they have the power, that we're not a part of the government, we are the government because we put them in there. I was talking to some community leaders in my community earlier today. And the problem is that a lot of people don't know about certain meetings. They don't broadcast it. So the media has to broadcast it out of the community. But even people in the community don't believe that if they go to these meetings and voice their opinion, that it's not going to have no say-so because they don't even believe the people that are in office are actually controlled by the people. The people don't voice their opinion. Also, the politicians do everything that they want to do. Because when they get in there, we still have to go and voice our opinion because they represent us.
Let him keep talking.
Why are we going to waste the whole show? To my brother, I researched my family history. My grandfather was with Daniel Boone, free man slave, invented the saddle with the horses, every damn thing to go with the horses. So I'm in negotiation right now to
get my damn reparation. My grandfather been in the saddle, okay? To my brother that's bumping his gum, don't know. Hey, research your own family, man. Okay, you're doing your ancestors derogatory, man. You won't stand up and see who owned your ancestors. Your ancestors might have made something that are irrelevant, like the air conditioner, or the lawnmower or something. Get your money, man. Respect your family, man. Your people in the grave, man. Crying for y'all to then wake up and do something for your people, man. I'm not going to let my people down, die in peace and die in hell. I'm fighting every day for my ancestors.
I
like
the idea of what Wesley's talking about. Can you imagine?
Doing it with my family and raising my children. That's the first thing that I can start doing. Then I can work without, bro. That's me. I got kids I'm raising, bro, first. And then I can branch out. If you were talking to me.
I'm talking to everybody that called in another week
and said something derogatory stuff to Mr. Talk and Nagoma. That same guy. I remember people, man. When you're plagiarizing something,
somebody else got to say it's hard to listen and learn.
I challenge all y'all to research your own family history, man. Y'all got blessings coming to y'all, man. Forget about what damn Obama doing, man. Your ancestors cry to y'all at the grave every day, man.
Obama never ran for president.
He never ran as a black president. The people voted him because he was black.
Obama never promised anything on a black issue.
I think
people voted for him the first time around, not necessarily because he was black, because they were sick and tired of the Bush administration.
The reason they put him in there, because the world is predominantly black, okay? They want to advance this new world order to put this more change on black people around the world. That's why they got him in there.
Most white people voted for him.
And continue this new world order crap that they're trying to run, man. That's why he's in there, man. He has the mind control like we all are, man.
62% of his vote came from Caucasians. 62. I worked the polls that day. I didn't see it from my own eyes. I worked the polls. I was part of the voting process, even though some people think it's a fraud and fake.
Hold on, Mr. Talk. Can I say something, though?
Give him his 45 minutes. Give him his 45 minutes. Go ahead, Mike.
I don't hate Wesley.
You just drive me nuts.
Wait till you give me my thing. I got to dress low and busy.
I don't know why I'm raising my voice. I don't have to. All right, look, Michael, actually, this second election, more blacks voted than white folk. White people did. That's how he got in.
I'm talking about first election. I didn't vote for him second election. I'm talking about first in 08.
Okay.
That's when I was pumped
I'm
up.
I'm telling you, the black
second
folk
election,
did
I ain't vote
second
for him. Let me ask y'all a question.
Y'all done got on my dang on nerves. Even medication ain't working. God dang it. Now, I was saying, that was the first time in this country that the minority outvoted the majority on that. And let's be honest, why are we even talking about this? We already know the voters, you go and you get punch your hold or do whatever you do, and then you got this group of people called Electoral College that go in and say, okay, this state, our state, we mainly voted for so-and-so, right? We voted for so-and-so. They voted for so-and-so. But this group of people still have the power to say, yeah, but they don't know what they're doing. Let's give all the votes, the electoral votes to candidate B. You know, so this voting thing is nothing but a big fraud. It really is.
I do believe that it is predetermined
from the get-go. Now, the only way, things where I think votes really count is in your local elections. Now, I can say maybe that, but as far as you getting up to the Senate and the president and all that, man, you're wasting your time. You really is. That's the way I feel about it. So, y'all can go ahead, go from there.
Very good point.
The people in D.C., man, they're all about destroying the government, man. That's what they're going up there. That's like they're not going to get nothing done. They're destroying the government. How many of y'all voted in y'all local elections today? It was election today.
I didn't.
I'm very up to date. Well, I would like to at least give me 90 seconds. I'm very involved in my local politics, but I didn't vote presidential election. But I just want to say something. See, If the youngsters hear people say that our whole voting system is rigged, they're not going to be political. I asked someone on my show, I said, if you wanted to start your whole government, how would you get a consensus of the whole people? Make a long story short, he said he would have to run it the way it is now, voting. Now, what I'm saying is, people, if you do not believe in the voting system, what is there? How are you going to get a consensus of the people? If that voting system is rigged on the federal government, it's going to be rigged on your state government, on your state local government. That's all I'm saying.
Yeah, yeah. Let me ask Mr. Talk a question. You know how many our ancestors got killed and lynched trying to vote, man, my brother?
Well, you know what? Let me ask you this question.
What are you
know how many my you know how many of my fellow soldiers and some of my soldiers died just for this nonsense that's going on today? Now I can go there with you too. So don't be trying to play that blame game. I'm not even trying to hear that.
Hold it, man. I'm making you think. See, I'm not gonna sit here and just go around and say something to try to not make people think, man. That's what dialogue is, to try to make people think, to open up their brain cells, man. Okay, for soldiers, man, most of y'all volunteered. My brother, didn't you volunteer to go?
Look, Wesley.
One of them volunteered.
Look, Wesley, look. You're not volunteered. But listen what I'm saying, Wesley. That's the old argument, because here's the thing. At that time, it was needed. But it wasn't for what we are dealing with today. Okay, it was for the future that they saw differently than what we have today. And hey, we done talked about it earlier in the show. We still have to get those rights approved every 25 years.
Let me ask you a question, Mr. Bob.
Why is that?
When you volunteered, it was peacetime, right?
Yeah.
When you first signed up for the service, it was peacetime, right?
I guarantee you this.
Yes, it was
peacetime. Go ahead, Wes. Go ahead, Beasley.
No, that's all I was asking him. He didn't sign up.
Well, wait.
No.
You asked, did he volunteer?
Okay.
Well, when he signed
okay.
up, whenever he signed up, and I know he said that he's retired military, so I guess he's done 20-something years, and from the music that he plays, he's right around my age. So we're contemporaries. But when he signed up, I assumed that it was peacetime, that there were no, you know, you weren't getting sent off to war.
Well, the
no,
thing about
I wasn't.
That is,
yeah, well, that makes a big difference.
Well,
that's right.
The thing about that is, just because you don't hear of a platoon or a company going somewhere in the world, just because you don't hear about it doesn't mean that it doesn't exist.
I believe that.
And,
yeah,
and
but volunteering and drafting are two different things, man.
Bro,
you volunteer to share your soul.
Let me run something down at you. Everybody don't have the same opportunities.
Everybody got the same opportunities, man.
You can say whatever.
Poor people in rural areas don't have the same opportunities that I had.
I'm just trying to get back on voting. I just wanted to finish. My thing is this. Everyone doesn't have the same opportunities. Let's look at a low level. Let's look at a high school. And you have a high school in an affluent neighborhood. The children have gymnastics. They have different programs that they can join in within the school curriculum. Now, if you're in an inner city school, you don't have gymnastics. The only thing you might have is football and basketball, but you don't have lacrosse, and you don't have soccer or tennis.
Your point's well made with me.
Right.
But,
there are different, but it was said that everyone has the same opportunity. That's not always true.
No, if you've got well-to-do parents, you're not forced to join the service. Let's face facts. All of those people that you saw, those young people, and it broke my heart to watch it. I'm like, look at these people, 18, 19, 20 years old, haven't even begun to live their life, and they're dying over here in Iraq over this proxy war over oil and power. Let me finish this thought. A lot of those people came from West Virginia, Kentucky. They were poor white people from rural areas.
That's true.
Okay, you finished, man?
Okay, look here,
and
man.
Most,
it's not, it's not a matter of opportunity. It's called gifts, man. God gave everybody gifts. Some people got gifted to be school teachers and PhD. Some people work with their hands. Some people can work with their hands, i.e. go to trade school. Okay? That's what I did,
and most,
man.
People don't go to the military. And most people
don't
go to the military.
Gifts, man. What you going on
in
the military?
Some people don't
have
the
opportunity but to go to the military. The military
no,
might have been
most people
the best
don't go to the military, though.
Not
but
most people,
most
but some people
this,
join
exactly,
the military
but
because...
We're talking about a small percentage of the people that go to the military. But I always want to say something. Listen, about the voting thing, guys. I want to get
and
back on
I ain't nobody want to talk about no vote no more.
Did
okay.
you vote today?
You sound like a little kid, Lord, when you just said
I'm
that.
I'm telling
Lord.
The truth. People have gotten tired
of
hearing
you
talk
about
that. About
somebody.
Something that
wow. You... Wow, you sound like a little kid right now.
Hey,
look
Mike,
at,
did you vote
you
today, Rad?
No, because my state did not have voting.
Okay, that's good, brother.
But I'm caught up in my local politics, Wesley. I'm caught up in my local politics. Listen, the Democratic Party said that voting fraud is real low because these so-called Republicans are saying it's voting fraud because illegal aliens is voting. There's many ways that you want to talk about voting fraud. The Democrat says Al Sharpton and our party, no, there's no voting fraud. There's 0.8% voting fraud out of the millions upon millions of people that are voting. So you guys are sitting up here and saying it's a system, and look at what the politicians are saying. That both of them are saying it's fraud in one way, and the other one saying it's not no fraud. Now, I'm just saying, you guys need to know what the voting is account. Do you believe in voting system or not? If not,
okay.
This
Michael,
way we can't
even
Michael,
talk
about
let me stop you right there. Hold on. Let me stop you
different.
Right there, Michael. Now, yeah. you know why politicians saying that there's voter fraud? Because they wanted to pass this bill requiring make it more difficult for the minority to vote. Because this last election, it scared them. It scared them.
So they say, no.
So what they say is... What they're saying is, okay, let's make it tougher because they know the majority of these young African-American and minority individuals walking around don't even have a state ID, a picture ID.
Right.
And you know why they know that their votes are being counted. Listen to what you're saying because you're contradicting yourself. If they're trying to stop people from voting, they know that each voting counts. They wouldn't try to stop it, Mr. Tall.
Mike.
They wouldn't try to stop it.
Let me make a distinction between what you're saying.
Listen to what you're saying. I agree with you.
Mike, let me make a distinction, and why don't you listen for a change? Just try to listen. What Mr. Talk is saying, he wasn't talking about voter fraud. He was talking about the entire system being corrupt.
Yeah.
He was speaking to systemic problems. He wasn't talking about voter fraud per se. Am I right, Mr. Talk?
He did.
You're right.
He called voter fraud. No, Mr. Talk. You said when we vote.
I talk a lot, but I also listen.
Let me see if I can explain to you, man. He's trying to talk trying to make it so difficult for people to vote. Hold up, man. You got your own show, man. I ain't got no show, man. Can I finish what I'm getting ready to say? Okay, Georgia should make it difficult for people to even get a driver's license ID, man. You got to have your birth certificate, Social Security card, and some kind of residency ID, your water bill or your light bill, just to get a doggone ID in Georgia, man. That's what he's trying to make. He's saying they're making it difficult for people to even get ID, man. That's what he's trying to say.
And the state that Mr. Talk to me, and
your state ID usually has some requirements, but I wouldn't be surprised if they're stepping up the requirements to get the ID with anticipation of these voter ID laws that they're trying to get implemented. But Mike, do you understand the difference that Mr. Talk is talking about a systemic problem that the entire system just doesn't work? He wasn't talking about voter fraud. He was just talking about the corruption and the system.
Excuse me.
Purging people off of the voter list. And they got the ID and everything. They've been purged off the list, and they can't even vote.
You think I didn't
know the difference of what I just said, Mike?
Hold on, excuse me, listen, Beasley.
Damn.
You are on this phone, keep on saying that I don't know how to compliment. Yes, sir, I listen to you very well. Don't say that I need to listen. Now, let me defend myself. You said I couldn't listen.
This is so defensive, but do you understand the difference?
No. There is no difference. No, there is. And hold up, Miss Beasley. Oh, wow.
Go ahead.
Beasley, you're saying I cannot communicate. Let me defend myself.
Saying you don't listen.
I said.
Go ahead. I'll listen.
You don't have a mouth now. I said, listen, because I want him to be quiet. I'm speaking fast. I said that I was part of the election process when I was elected official in 08. I was pumped up for Obama. I was a part of the voting process. Mr. Chalk came back and said, just because they voted the system in and stuff like that doesn't mean it's going to be – and then he went to talk about the Electoral College. The Electoral College even go on the popular number of votes, how many. So they go on the more number of votes, and they just give them a selection. If you want to argue about that, but that's another show. But what other people are saying, Mr. Talk saying, that whole political system is a fraud because it's not representative, it's not doing the right thing. And I'm just saying, if that's the case, there is no way that you can be political. And what I'm saying, and I want to say this, and I'll be quiet, this is my last point. For us, listen, if that voter right, I believe the 25-year thing about the black people, since we know about them, we're talking on this show, they can protest just like they did Trayvon Martin. The next time that they vote on it, people will have the power. They can make it indefinitely, and they won't have to vote on it every 25 years no more. Because we as the people have the power. If we can protest with Trayvon Martin and other things, we can do it and make the politicians talk about it on the news. And if that's going to be a big topic, why black people have to be singled out just like the 3/5 clause in the Constitution? I agree with y'all. But to say we have the power, we can do it. That's all I wanted to say.
And
you are
power,
all, you are all over
we can
the get, place.
We can change this country all upside down. All we got to do is stop buying this shit, man, when they sell this Christmas crap, man.
Yeah.
Tell Santa Claus, put your middle finger up to Santa Claus, tell him we ain't buying nothing, man. We can turn all this stuff around, from Trayvon to Bolton Court to Justice. Every doggone crime they done to us is doing to us. All we got to do, we got almost $11 billion, man, in the black community. One zip code in Chicago spent $23 million last year just on lotto, okay? We done spent $15 million just on drinking and partying and shit, man, okay? That's throughout the whole country, $15 million,
And those stats that you're getting, that's part of the reason why corporations are responsive when there's perceived racism out there, because blacks have organized and have boycotted products, and whites join in too. Because it's really not fashionable to be racist, even if you're a racist. Racists don't like to admit they're racist. But, Mike, you know you didn't really address what I was asking you, though, but that's okay.
Okay,
y'all
want
the right to vote? Y'all
want
to stop this so we have the right to vote permanently? Don't buy shit for Christmas. Don't celebrate Thanksgiving. Don't celebrate shit for Thanksgiving, but buy you something to eat or whatever. And then Christmas time, the Black Friday coming up. I'm black every damn day, not just on Friday.
I like Thanksgiving.
Okay. Go ahead, Ebony.
Hi, guys. How are you?
What's going on, Ebony?
Hello,
how you doing,
Ebony? Much. How are you, Beasley? How are you doing?
Fine. She does.
Hello,
I like when you use your American accent.
I don't have an American accent.
Yeah, you
I
do.
Try.
So
How you doing? I think it's interesting, your topic tonight, because I'm not doing my show because tomorrow I'm delivering a course on equalities and diversity here in the UK. But it's interesting because a lot of the discussion will be about equalities and how equal we are in terms of race, sex, sexual orientation, you know, the whole thing, age. You know, we've got the Equalities Act here, 2010, made it kind of unlawful to discriminate really against anybody, and it includes whites. So, it's going to be an interesting discussion tomorrow. Going to be talking to workers about how to be more equal and fair with each other. So it's interesting hearing you guys talking about, you know, how black people are treated.
I have a question.
Well, yeah.
I don't
how
know.
How black people treat each other, that's what the question should be.
Oh, boy.
Because it's not equal in no place, because you got they always talk about other people being not equal. We do the same thing to each other.
Yeah.
Everybody
yeah.
don't have an equal say. Got a click.
I try
yeah,
to treat
man,
everybody
like
the same. It's not easy. What's the black population of England, of the UK?
Well, we're only a minority. We're about, I don't know, less than 20% of the entire country. People
well, the United States is 13%.
Yeah. People assume there's a lot more of us here, but there isn't actually. The
20%
is
a lot. Do you think
yeah.
it's 13%?
Mm-hmm. No. We're less than that. We're probably about 12.
Let me ask you this. Let me
not
ask
much.
You this. Now,
yeah.
the majority of the black people have come from other, you know, other places, probably places that were colonialized. Is there a kinship or is there a separation between, say, Nigerians living in the UK as compared to Jamaicans living in the UK? These are separate cultures, or do they blend into one common culture?
Yeah, we used to be very separate. We're not anymore. In fact, now a lot of my friends who are Caribbean are married to people who are African.
Okay.
There's a lot of mixture going on. They definitely are down with the reggae music and our cultural music, and we're down with Afro beats. So if you go to a party now, you will hear a combination of all different black music being played.
So,
and the food we share. I think before it used to be the case that particularly African food is very different and very separate from Caribbean food, but now you
Caribbean
will go to restaurants.
Better.
Yeah, it
no,
is
that,
better.
No, that's interesting. So, the different cultures being there have created a hybrid of culture.
Yeah, because what you'll find
that's
is...
That's interesting.
Go,
that's really
yeah,
interesting.
Yeah, you'll go to restaurants where they're serving both, and you'll go to food shops where they're selling both foods alongside each other.
But
so
I have a
it
question.
Has changed.
I mean, I have a yeah. question. So by it being mm-hmm. that way, that means everybody's not walking the same way and seeing the same thing, seeing everything the same. And that makes it better, right?
No, I think we still have our differences in how we are and how we cook our food and culturally how we raise
it's
our family.
Multicultural.
It will
that's
be.
It's a multicultural society like America, correct?
It's like I was saying, everything is not the same.
No, it's not multi.
It's a mix of everything.
I think sometimes people say multi thinking that there is a real sort of merger of all the cultures, and that isn't necessarily the case.
Man.
People are still very much doing their own thing according
mm-hmm.
to how they were raised and what they want for their families.
But
definitely the dominating culture will be the white culture because that dominates our screens. I think what there is now, there is a bit of a fight to maintain the culture that we have amongst our families because, you know, if our children get totally merged into white culture, they will think they are white kids.
Mm-hmm.
Sorry, how it is. They won't have the same discipline. That's the fear, really, that they will lose some of that discipline and whatever.
I've run into white Nigerians from England.
Diversity
that
means multicultural, though, Ab. It's multi just means more than one. And it's a diverse group of people. Sometimes, a lot when you go in a corporate world, they'll have classes on diversity. Because they know a lot of people from different backgrounds and, you know, different ethnic groups. And, you know, you have to think about, you know, diversity. That's what I'm saying.
Yeah,
because culture is going to be involved in that.
Yeah, there's
nothing
wrong.
So, I mean,
they're
one
and
the
same.
Mike,
I was going to say, there's nothing wrong with the difference. The study of diversity is to encourage people to just accept difference.
Right.
And to recognize
right.
that we are.
Right. And then they're going to be talking about
so
the culture. That's
really
the difference they're going to be talking
on.
About.
We don't really want to merge into one. What we want to do is celebrate people the way they are and treat them the way they want to be treated.
And exactly.
And
by understanding that people have all different cultures. We're saying, I'm not disagreeing with you, but I'm just saying that's what they're saying because America is a multicultural society. It's very diverse. That's
and,
all.
And,
it's
and,
just
and,
one
and, of
and
the in the corporate world, you're forced to merge into the corporate culture. And that's how you act in that particular in that setting.
And the corporate culture gives classes because that corporate culture has diverse people there.
Right. Yeah, but you don't always
the corporate culture
doesn't always respect culture.
I know that.
Well, it's what the corporate culture was.
I know that.
Further the goals and what the corporation wants to do. So
that's
it wants
right.
to lessen, it wants to lessen any other problems that may exist from within. But I think what Ebony is describing, and I learned this in school, instead of a society becoming a melting pot where everything is
right.
merged together to create one, you know, one stew that tastes the same, what we really have is a mixed salad where all of these different groups or all of these different things exist, but they
yeah.
each maintain or retain some individuality. You still
That's
taste
right.
the red pepper. You still taste the onion. You still taste the tomato, even though – and you still taste the lettuce, even though they're part of
and
a larger
And all of them affect each other.
And then
right.
sometimes when you're making a salad.
That's why we're talking about diversity. That's why we're saying it's very important, because those cultures are going to affect each other, or those different type of entities will affect each other. Because
and
that's
I have
why
another question.
Mike, I think you should
okay.
run for office. I think you should run for
no.
office.
No, I just want
no,
you
I
to know
do.
I understand
and
what I'm talking about, bro. Don't act like I'm stupid because you come
like
off
you're
and
stupid.
You,
I'm actually
yes,
giving you a
Yes, you do because
compliment.
You said I don't understand
Why
what people
are, you so
are saying,
defensive?
And I repeat myself. Y'all have a nice night.
I have another question.
He is so defensive. Talks about someone else acting like little kids. I think he should run for office because he's got a good line of bullshit.
Well, he said he had ran for office or something. Didn't he say that?
If he has some handlers that could just get him to stop talking and let the people applaud, they would go for him.
Didn't you hear he said he was elected in office or something? Man, I was waiting to see if y'all could catch on to what he said. He said he'd already been elected in some office.
I mean, I'm not surprised. People go for... Go ahead.
Yeah, Mays, what were you going to say?
Do you know any people over there that gave up their American citizenship? The U.S. citizenship.
Yeah, I do. It takes a long, long time to get a green card.
Mm-hmm.
It can take some people years to get a green card. Even if you marry an American, it doesn't guarantee to get one very quickly. So, you know, I don't know. You guys have a lot of checks and balances before you will give someone citizenship or the right to work in your country. So it's pretty hard. I think the same as for anybody who's trying to migrate to any country that's not their original country of origin, then you're going to have to go for a process.
Predominantly white country.
You're going to go for a long process. I mean, I have a friend who came from the Caribbean, married someone American national. She's a Caribbean, but she married a white American national, and she stayed in America for 10 years and still didn't get her green card.
Wow.
Yeah, the marriage broke up. She came back to the UK, and then she got a green card.
Well, so many people come here on a 30-day visa or come across the border and just never plan on going back and never get a green card.
Yeah.
Well, Anthony, we're going to send all these crooks that y'all sent over here to start America. We're sending them fuckers back over there. Y'all can have them.
We're going to dig enough.
Yeah,
we're going to dig enough.
That's how America got started. The Queen of England, King George, let all these prisoners out to come over here to start America. The Pacific of Georgia and South Carolina. That's how Georgia and South Carolina got started.
Georgia was sent. Who founded it? James Oglethorpe. And Georgia was filled with criminals.
Yeah.
I reckon there's still a lot of criminals in the U.S. as a result. I'm just saying.
All y'all criminals came over from over here. Over here.
Yeah, well, you know what? I'm just saying that, you know, you better be careful of that statement, because then what you're saying is that most of the people that are there are potentially ex-cons, right?
Yeah, well, most of the white, the Irishmen, the Britons that came over here, King George let his prisoners out, told them to get the hell out of England and come over here.
Particularly the state of Georgia.
I'm not looking to migrate to the U.S. After they be taking pictures of my eyes, no. No. I'm not feeling it. They took pictures of my eyes when I came to Florida. I was like, what the hell is that about?
That's new.
No. I don't like
well,
that.
That's a new form. That's a new form of. That's a new form of identification. They're on. They're on some new technology stuff.
Yeah.
Yep. Well, let me bring Knowledge in. I think he wants to get some of this.
Oh, awesome.
678, Mr. Knowledge, are you there?
Good afternoon, distinguished host and guest.
Hi, and
how's everybody?
Well,
doing good, bro.
Oh, that's always good to hear.
Wonderful.
This is my favorite show.
Yeah, I know. I know. Double B. Well, I'm gonna start calling you B squared. It's better. It works better.
Whatever. I've been called a lot worse than these shows. Go ahead.
But in regards to multiculturalism and diversity, I think those are phrases that are used ad nauseum, but very seldom understood. And I'm only speaking from my own experience. I was fortunate enough to be born and raised in the Bay Area. So even though I was born at a time where the United States was very polarized racially, I had the benefit of growing up with, in the 60s, going to elementary school.
Right.
Armenians, Japanese, Chinese, Mexican, black, white, all of it. And I think Michelle brought up a very good point in the chat room when she was saying that people fear differences, and what those fears do is they perpetuate stereotypes that are projected on all groups. And the only way that you can really get past that is when you're actually able to spend time with the various groups. And then you'll notice that there are good and bad in every single group. I know to this day, I know some of the most ghetto Chinese people you'll ever meet. If you don't believe me, go to Oakland, California. Okay? And a lot of people don't even view Chinese people that way because they're not projected in the news. You really don't get stories about them like that. They're out there. You know, not all Chinese are good at math and good at science.
I know some Chinese
that can run the streets a whole lot better than brothers can, and they know how to keep it quiet.
Did they have to learn how to do that?
No.
Yeah, I know some Chinese.
There's a predominant hood street culture in the Bay Area that comes out of Oakland, and Oakland is incredibly diverse. I mean, it's like 30% white, you know, 30% black. And 30%, you know, 30% Latin and Asian. So it's incredibly diverse. And
yep.
But the predominant hood culture that exists now, it may not have existed 30 years ago as much, but the predominant hood culture that exists now transcends race. So you have, it's wild to see, particularly, you know, being a little bit older, you know, they've got, you know, full-fledged hip-hop Chinese people, Filipinos, Romanians.
Yep.
That use that word that you can't use on this show, the N-word, that use it indiscriminately and call each other their friends that, and you sit and watch them, and it's something else. I was at a supermarket
it's
the other day.
It's called urban culture.
Right, urban culture, right. And it really exists here in the Bay Area, and it transcends ethnicity. And it's fascinating to watch.
We didn't create it either. Most people think we created it, but we didn't.
No, generally, it's a product of the environment, is what
yes.
it is.
Right.
Yeah, but
it just depends on where you are.
Yep. I think it's also an aspiration for young people. It does. You say we didn't create it, Maze, but you're actually wrong, because if you look at all the sayings that they use, the words that they use.
Right.
Most of those words came out of the black culture.
Right. Language is a big part of culture.
Yeah, we had sayings here in the UK where young people called each other blood. They call each other, there's a whole, you know, raft of them. But if you go to listen to, like, the kids' shows, right, the kids' shows where they're trying to get all the hip words like wicked and stuff like that, They are literally waiting for young black people to come up with new sayings that they can use and create and add into that mass culture, which they call urban culture. But most of it came out of is designed out of black communities. It starts there, and they wait to catch it and they take it. I mean, you just have to look at the dances and stuff like that. Where do they all come from?
Sometimes it's stolen.
We're original, man. We're the originators of everything on the earth.
That's
man.
The truth. Culturally,
that's right.
Man.
We're the original recipe. Original recipe.
It takes years, but particularly in language, and you see that language go from the street. And it takes
some
time, but you see it go from the street, and you see it end up on CNN. What about the word "diss"? You know, to disrespect somebody, he dissed me. That's
word.
Really you.
And that came from the black culture.
Yes,
sure.
It did.
Well,
that particular word
did. Well, hip hop is a strong driving force and has been. For 30 years now, and you see
it used to be positive, man. When Tupac and Biggie was around, hip hop was positive.
It wasn't completely positive with those two either. And I followed them both.
Let me ask you a question.
You heard of Gil Scott Heron, man? Have you heard of Gil Scott
Heron? I know who Gil Scott Heron is.
Thank you. I rest my case.
Can I ask a question? It says hip hop, but look at gospel. They're doing things too, but is that catching on from the black community?
Well, not as much as hip hop.
Thank you.
So they use the JC and them to be evil with this crap, man. JC evil, man.
Well, even the gospel, you're wrong, because gospel does catch on from the black community.
But
Every popular singer is not a universal driving force
like hip hop has become.
Well, people rapping all over the world. I just wanted to say there's still a driving force from gospel, because if you ever listen to X Factor and all these shows where they're trying to create talent, right? Look at those talent shows. The talent shows, the people that they aspire for, the people that they support to win those shows, and just look at the mindset of them when you watch it. They try to get the young white people who sing most like black people to win. And they are people who are mass producing gospel skills. Because if you just go and listen to any of those shows, the X Factor shows, and I know because I listened to them, before X Factor it was Pop Idols, before Pop Idols it was something else. All of those shows are trying to bring through white talent that sing like black people. And it isn't a race thing, it's just that form of talent really is our talent. That if you go to the churches, that's where the music started and that's where the singing came from. Yet now they've commercialized it to a level that they now own it, but it was ours. Originally, it was ours. Where did all the screaming of the voices and everything came from? You got your Janis Joplins and people like that, but they went to the gospel to learn those ways of singing. They went to gospel churches and they learned from us. And now it's been so watered down and resold to us that we forget where it originated. Ask anybody, you know, it's interesting. I was listening to the Motown. They have a film about the rise of Motown and, you know, their influence on the world of music and where rock came from. And you want to watch one of those films which show the real history of music and the influence of gospel music on music and singers that we now see as popular singers. You know, Elvis, where did Elvis get his stuff from? Most of it he stole from the black community. It's the truth. It's not a lie. And it's not racist either. It's just a fact. That's where it came from. Just that we've lost touch with it, so we think it belongs to someone else. It doesn't. It belongs to us.
Jazz was a creation also of black people that has now been basically dominated by Europeans and others.
Is everybody gone? Where did everybody go?
I'm here. I lost sound for a minute, but I don't hear Ebony anymore or Mr. Beasley or even Mr. Talk.
I mean, you know, and it's funny because I understand exactly what Ebony's saying, and I think more so than any other group of people that black people are very aware of its impact in terms of music
mm-hmm.
and where these different genres of music come from.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't, it might have been a little bit of a misnomer, and I don't think that anyone was really downplaying gospel, but I think going back to what Beasley was saying, and Ebony said this as well, gospel is not marketed the same way as other genres of music.
Right.
You know, it's not commercialized that way. It's just not put out that way. Because I grew up, and you probably did too, Ngone. Man, and I told you this before. I grew up listening to Mahalia Jackson every Sunday morning, 6 o'clock a.m. My mother didn't even have to wake me up. That was on the old-style stereos, what looked like a credenza, and then you lift up the cabinet, and then the record player was down inside.
Mm-hmm.
Every Sunday morning, my mom had Mahalia Jackson black. And you ask black people today, the young black people today, a lot of them don't even know who Mahalia Jackson is.
I know you're right. I wonder what happened to the sound. I wonder where, are we in the green room or what? Because I don't hear anything.
I can hear you. I don't think we are.
We must be.
And Mahalia Jackson is probably considered the greatest gospel singer of all time.
I'm sorry. Look, I'm sorry. I got everybody muted. I muted myself.
Wow.
My bad.
Well, we were carrying on for you, Mr. Talk. We were carrying
That's
on
good.
For you. But Mahalia Jackson is considered the greatest gospel singer of all time.
Mm-hmm.
And her music to this day, her music is never played. Never.
Never.
You could still hear Elvis. Okay,
well, yeah.
You could still hear a lot of the old artists from way back. Mahalia Jackson, you don't hear none of her music played, none.
But you have to also, I think, have to take in consideration that the influence of the church has declined anyway, period.
True.
Mm-hmm.
And also, if you don't hear hip-hop, you don't hear real hip-hop anymore either. You hear this whatever.
Oh, thank you, Mr. Thank
Damon
you.
And Holland. But you don't hear
Mr. Talk muted me. I can't believe he muted me.
You're going to have to
muted everybody.
Have to tell Ebony
Lord. He muted everybody so you could speak, and I appreciate what you said. You deserve to have everybody be muted so you can get your piece in. You covered everything pretty well.
Hello, Mr.
I guess
Talk.
He muted me, too.
I don't know if I'm going that far, B squared.
Yeah, that's my opinion. That's
Hello,
my
Ms.
opinion. I appreciate when she talks the majority of the time, and I appreciate when you talk.
Mr. Talk, could you play Ebony some
yes,
real hip hop so she can know what it sounds like? Because she probably haven't heard any real hip hop.
Oh,
she's
dear.
Just been listening to the whatever they put out.
Look, if she been listening to the show, she know what she done heard real hip hop.
I know
on
real hip hop.
I mean, some deep hip hop.
Yeah,
not that
she done heard it, but yeah, I play
that
it Friday. I do it Friday.
Talk. You hear me? You hear me?
Yeah, we can hear you.
Yes. Bust some Gil Scott hair on them, man. That's the real dog. That's real hip hop. Gil Scott.
Hey, listen, I know